Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 221.
Hi.
My name is Chris Fricchio. I am here with Travis Baum.
Hey.
And Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
Today we are talking about games that have questionable sexual content that deals with members of the same sex and members of not the same sex. Basically letting you choose, that kind of thing.
And animals.
And animals. Bestiality, that kind of thing.
Aliens.
No, there's none of that. But before that, we're going to do some distractions and news. Afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So before that, let's go around the table, see what is up. Jeff, you start. What's going on?
Not much, man. Had a decent week. I have today and tomorrow off, which is Thursday, Friday, so I have a nice long weekend.
Oh, nice. Did you just take the days off because you, you know, wanted to play games, or was it
pretty much? Yeah, no, I had all these, and I was like, well, Street Fighter Cross 2nd and Mass Effect comes out in the same week, so I'm like, eh, why not? I haven't taken a day or two off for a game in a while, so let's do it up.
Cool.
So why not? But unfortunately, I'm not getting Mass Effect till Saturday, so that, you know, so it's mostly Street Fighter Cross 2nd for me in the last 2 days.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
Last weekend was pretty fun. I ended up, I won't tell the whole story on here. It wasn't like growing up, but based on growing up, we had someone write in and ask, like, have we ever gotten to the point where we're drunk and get like blackout or whatever? And it was funny because all the three of us said that, well, Glenn and I said that, it has happened before, but it's very rare, and it hasn't happened in a long time. And, anyway, I went out Saturday night and woke up on Sunday. Yep. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. A lot of spots in there. I don't remember what happened. My buddy was filling me in. I was like, wow. All right. Gotta stop doing that shit.
So immature. Just terribly immature.
I know. It's so awful. It's the shots. That's what does it.
What's that so typical? What?
No, man. That hasn't happened in a long time. The thing is, it wasn't like totally ridiculous. Like, I wasn't stumbling around or like vomiting or anything like that. It was just, I guess, a mixture of what I was drinking that just did it. And it's kind of like reality check. I'm like, yeah, I really gotta stop doing this. I gotta cut down. No more going too crazy.
Yeah.
Right. But, that's how the irony is. That started with a weekend of game. Like, literally, a couple buddies of mine came over on Saturday. We started playing games. We were just playing Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, basically a whole bunch of different fighting games. And we ended up going to a bar afterwards, and it just was a long night. But yeah, it was fun. So it's kind of a good thing I have 2 days off this week to help recover.
Yeah, good deal.
He's doing a good job. What about you, Travis? What have you been up to?
Not much. Just recovering. I think I made myself a little bit sick and everything. Because I mean, you know, sleeping is super, super important. And I did the minimum, required sleeping. Because anyway, the beginning of the story, you know, super hype about Mass Effect. It's a game that came out last week. It's not a big deal. It's my life.
It's a game.
It's boring. A game. It's boring. Yeah. So anyway, I work the midnight release at the store I'm working at, and I get off work. I get my game, get off work at around 1:30-ish, get home around 1:40, make me a nice Coca-Cola, little eats just to get ready. And the next thing I know, I'll pop in Mass Effect, start playing, and then the next thing I know, it's about 10 a.m. in the morning. Megan's already been at work for like 3 hours.
Wow, that is crazy.
And wow, I cannot remember the last time I stayed up that late. In a long time. I mean, it's been, we're getting close to a decade where I've never stayed up till 10 a.m. I can't remember the last time, period. It was just almost too much. So I crashed at around 10. And maybe slept for 3 hours. This, my body would not let me like have a good full rest. So I woke up around 1:30, 2-ish, and jumped back on the game and just kept drilling through it. I beat that motherfucker in like 2 days.
That's nuts, dude.
Well, I specifically asked for 2 days off after the release so I can just jump right into it and just get, you know, just drill that game. But I didn't expect to beat it. Like, I put in probably about 15 hours both days, and it's just lack of sleep, staying up super late. If I do sleep, it's only a few hours, and man, I'll tell you what, like, last night was the first time I got like a full 6 hours, and today was this the worst day ever. It was just bad, bad, bad. I wanted to die.
6 hours is pretty typical for me on a normal day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's,
Yeah, that was glorious. Last night was glorious. That sweet, sweet slumber.
Yeah, it's always good. Yeah, Tuesday night I was up until 4:30, 5 o'clock-ish, and had to work on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Well, the way I see it, somebody's got to save the universe.
Yeah, you and millions of other people.
Yeah, yeah. I posted on Twitter, and I know I did Google+. I don't remember if I did Twitter or not, but I was like, is work over yet? I have to go save the galaxy.
Yeah, it's serious business. But speaking of that business, before we get to it, Chris.
Yo.
Did you save the galaxy?
I have not saved the galaxy yet, no. I'm in the process of trying to do so.
If you can.
If I can, yeah. Apparently there's, you know, multiplayer involved in saving the galaxy, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, we'll get that.
Yeah, I mean, not much is going on. It's just, you know, the biggest thing happening for me right now is, you know, getting ready for baby number two and, enjoying, watching Liam progress so quickly. It's been, pretty surreal. It's like every day he surprises me with something new that he does or something new he says. And, it's a good time. It's a great time. And it's been a lot of fun.
Did you drop a curse word yet?
Not purposely.
Oh, okay.
Not purposely.
But he tries to say, I'm sure he pretty much hasn't said too much purposely.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he says what he thinks the words are. Like, he tries to say blueberries, and it comes out boobies.
that's my man.
and then he has trouble with R's. So when he says shirt, it comes out as shit.
Okay.
Things like that. But, you know, he's got a few, like, things that it's like, okay, let's work on that one later, you know? But, besides that, it's like, I mean, he knows, by looking at him, he knows, like, 23 or 24 out of the 26 letters. Okay. And he can count to 10 already.
That's good.
So, better than Jeff.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, he turns 2 next month.
I'm just forgetting numbers.
So,
it's
impressive. You know, it's fun to see. It's fun to see, and it's fun to be a part of. And, I honestly never thought in 100 years that I would enjoy, having a kid as much as I do. So,
well, good stuff.
You know, it's a good thing. But this isn't the kid podcast. This is a gaming podcast. So let's talk about some games.
It's a big kid podcast.
And, I'm going to let Jeff start because,
yeah, you guys are going
to. Because we're probably going to go off on Mass Effect, and you need to get the Street Fighter Cross Tekken out of your system.
Yeah, I do. Did we? Because we haven't. What day did we record last week? Was it Friday? It was Friday.
No,
I can't remember.
It was Thursday.
No, I think it was Thursday last week. I'm trying to think of what I played. I don't think I really played much, really, except for probably Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 4. I played some Third Strike on Saturday, some HD Remix, some Mortal Kombat 2. Some.
Did you play a non-fighting game at all?
No, I really don't think I did, now that I think of it. Oh, well, I played some, SSX.
Okay.
I played that actually quite a bit up until the release of the last two games, but we had a pretty good score chase going. Jack Bauer is pretty damn good at that game, I'll say that much. There's about 2 or 3 runs that most of us are doing and trying to beat scores at. And I think I haven't checked the leaderboards in the last, like, day or two, but I'm pretty sure Jack's number 1, I'm number 2. And then depending on the track, it's like Cracker Jack or Necro, I think, is up on there on one of them too. But that game's fun, man. It got to the point where typical score chase where you know within like the first minute that you're not going to beat your old score. So it goes down to like pause, restart.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when it kind of drives me nuts because then I become really fucking just anal with it. And I'm like, oh, I fell once, screw it, restarting. Doing all this stuff, and yeah.
I do that with racing games a lot, man. Especially when you're doing, like, time trial shit. It's like, you scrape the side of like, a barrier or something. Oh, I gotta restart.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it's like, man. If I miss, like, a jump by a certain bit, and I'm going to a place where I know there's not too much stuff to trick off, I'm like, oh, restart.
Yeah.
And, it's funny because I can't remember the term for this, but it's, something psychological, but I find if I try a track or a run for too long, and I will not beat my score. But if I go away from the game for like a couple hours or even a day and go back, I come back and beat the high score my first try. But then I can never get close to that again. And I gotta, like, you know, take a break, come back, and then try it again. I don't know what it is, but it's pretty messed up. Yeah,
yeah, that's common. Very common.
Good game. Good game. I recommend it.
You guys got it on PS3, right?
I got it on PS3, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the majority of us got it on PS3. Actually, I don't think of anyone that in our, like, you know, listener or otherwise have it on SSX that we like talk to and game with and stuff. So, definitely pick it up. It's like on the cheap. Cause I mean, the single player is kind of meh. I haven't really like, it just gets boring really quick. And the Deadly Descent runs are just not fun. They're just not what SSX is supposed to be. They're just kind of, yeah, dodge these obstacles, try to find a way to get around them. And you're not really having fun tricking through them because you don't want to jump too high. Cause you'll hit a cavern or hit a tree or hit something. It's just, ugh, forget it. But, you know, I had fun with it for a week, and I'm hoping to get back into it, and I'm sure I will after about a week or so. But of course, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, the new hype, came
so
out Tuesday.
The question is it still the truth? Because you've been playing this joint for like 4 years.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't say it's the new truth now. I mean, it's brand new and everyone's still really enjoying it. Well, it's only been out for a few days, but, we played it like Tuesday night. I popped in at probably about 9 o'clock, installed it, and I didn't go to bed till almost 5 in the morning.
Wow.
And that was like me, Jason, Scott, Sour, Crackerjack. There's like Voss. Actually, there's a bunch of us. Aces were all like on a Skype call and playing in like different lobbies and stuff. And, oh, pardon me. But,
very so nice guy podcast.
yeah, serious. But yeah, so we're still learning the game and we're learning the basics and it's really fun where everyone's on that level. So it's not like anyone's totally dominating anybody right now.
Right.
So, and I don't know, the more I play it though and play some online, I noticed that it is very, very deep, a lot deeper than it looks from like watching videos and hearing people talk about it. And I think it has that ability to really kind of separate the hardcore players from the casuals, kind of like Street Fighter did, and just kind of, there might be that disconnect. So it all comes down to if everyone can stay at a consistent level where it's fun to fight against each other, or if there's gonna be one or two people that totally get totally amazing at it, and everyone else just kind of gets frustrated and gives it up. But at this point right now, it's, everyone's enjoying it, and it hasn't hit Marvel vs. Capcom 3 yet, where everyone enjoyed it for a couple weeks, and it was like, all right, screw this game. It's too
Do you think,
this game's fucking broken.
Yeah.
Do you think that Street Fighter Cross Tekken has the ability to do that? Like, is it a little more, like, not, I don't want to say gimmicky, but is it a little more extreme than Street Fighter? Cause like.
Oh yeah. It's way more, there's a lot more you can do in it. And the combo system's very kind of customizable and lenient. So right. if you're good with figuring out combos and executing combos, you can totally, like, destroy people and have, like, the upper hand on a lot of people. But at the same time, there's 38 characters, I think, on the PS3
wow.
version at launch. Yeah. And that's like half Tekken, half Street Fighter. And right now, because it's new, no one's been able to exploit it yet, but I have found when I played online, like I've played today, like almost all day, just in training room, learning combos and stuff. And I'm pretty decent with a few characters. And seemed like I have to work so hard to do damage with some of them, and I played against a team of, I think it was Heihachi from Tekken and King from Tekken, and this guy was doing simple but very, like, the basic combos, but very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, stuff like you can watch him do and be like, okay, go right in the training room and be able to do it, and that's where it kind of seems like there could actually be balance issues, but that could just be, like, right now I just don't know how to deal with certain characters, I don't know character matchups yet or anything like that. It's like before when everyone had trouble with Zangief. It was like, oh my god, a good Zangief player would just dominate everybody. Or a good Blanka player or something like that. Or Sagat. But yeah, well, I'm sure once people learn how to deal with stuff like that, like there hasn't been a Sentinel, let's put it this way, so far. That's just been like, oh god, here we go. The I win button. But
yeah.
It's,
well, that's good. At least there's not a Sentinel yet.
No. And it's on a basic level, it's a lot of fun. Like, you can have fun. If you know the few basic ways to tag in people and do minor juggle combos, it's a lot of fun. Like, I mean, it's just going to depend on how many people can take it to the next level and still enjoy, like, playing the game.
Right.
But that could be, like, of any fighting game, though. Online.
Okay, so earlier we heard from Jason a couple of nights before that network was borked. Like, he was genuinely concerned. So, like,
yes.
How were you guys? Because you were on all night, so I'm assuming that you didn't have much of a connection issue.
No, there wasn't. There was connection issues in the term of there was people dropping. There's a couple times when before a match, it would literally just freeze. And it would freeze and then just kick everyone back out to the lobby. And then it would do it again and again and again until finally we'd have to be like, hey, somebody passed their turn and someone else got a chance to fight. And then it worked. Like, stuff like that. Today I was fighting against Silent Hero Shura. And during one of our matches, it kept going. But what happened was the screen kind of flashed like a brownish color. And then looked like there was like a black, kind of like a polygon, stretched out polygon across the screen.
Hmm.
Oh. It was really weird. I've never seen something like that in a fighting game before, ever. And I mean, we were still playing the game during it, but it was just weird. But the actual, and Jason said this too on Tuesday, that the actual netcode, like, it wasn't very laggy. There's a little tiny bit of button lag, but that I think is normal because the button presses in this game, you have to hit them kind of, it's like faster, a little bit easier than Street Fighter, so, when you're used to playing offline, just going like, you know, like A, B, A, B, C, whatever, that kind of thing, you kind of have to slow down or speed up certain inputs online. But once you get used to it, it's okay. But the weird part is the sound is messed up. Like, sound will just totally drop from the game online. And this isn't like every couple matches. It's every single match it does this. So the music will be playing, but you'll throw a fireball, but Ryu won't say Hadouken. Or you'll hit somebody and you won't hear anything. Or you'll do a super and you won't hear the charge up move for the super when it goes in that like, little cinematic. Or when the super fireball or whatever super is hitting somebody, you don't hear that either. So it's very kind of, it kind of makes the game feel like the characters have no weight or impact with their attacks at times. And if you rely on like audio cues for combos or timing, it could really screw you up.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a big problem.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a patch because it's on new code.
They gotta patch it.
They have to.
They gotta.
They're trying to emulate GGPO, and for people who don't know what that is, it's a fighting game code made by these two dudes in the fighting industry, like community, like years ago, and like Third Strike Online uses it for Xbox Live and PSN, and it works pretty well. I mean, it works similar to another netcode where it kind of, I'm not sure exactly how it works. It's kind of like. See, I don't know what the system's actually doing, but sometimes you'll see you'll be fighting, and all of a sudden it'll drop frames and kind of have like a little bit of a rewind effect, sort of. But that's kind of rare. It doesn't do it all the time. It's kind of like it's taking your inputs, everyone's inputs, and then displaying on the screen. I don't want to say afterwards. I really don't know how it works. I read into it once. I didn't really. It kind of went over my head. I was like, I don't get it. But it's supposed to be the best for button lag and input lag and stuff like that when with playing fighting games. But the problem is, this is Capcom. They didn't license this. They're trying to emulate it. And I don't know why they didn't just license it from the GGPO guys, because it would have probably
made more
sense.
Because that would cost money.
Yeah, I know. Like, fuck. But who knows how much it'll cost Capcom. Like, what if they can patch it? Because online stuff always scares the shit out of me, because everyone else says, well, they can patch it. They can, but it doesn't mean it's going to fix it. Like, King of Fighters 13 had, like, 3 online patches, or 12. And it never worked online, ever.
Yeah, it took a new game to get it to
work.
Yeah,
it took a new
game.
Now,
apparently, 13 is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, apparently, what I've heard, yeah.
I was, it's funny about the whole GGPO thing that you're saying with the emulation compared to them actually licensing it. But, when over in Pound Vegas, when we were, at the Capcom presser, and I went after the show and, you know, went and talked to the guy that was doing the event. I asked him, I said, so about, you know, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, I mean, how is the network going to be done? Are y'all using what Street Fighter 4 uses, or are y'all going to be using like GGPO? Because I know a lot of people kind of like that. And, you know, pressing him for another minute or two, talking fighting games, or acting like I knew what I was talking about. he says, I'm not going to tell you no, but I'm not going to tell you yes about GGPO.
Way to dodge that question.
Yeah, but it makes sense that it's not necessarily GGPO. It's like
they're emulating it.
Exactly. So it kind of actually makes sense. If that's what he meant, it really does make sense in how he worded it. So,
well, I mean, I just don't get it. Because, I mean, Street Fighter 4 runs fine online. Of course, it doesn't work as well as you're playing locally. No fighting game ever will.
No.
But there's not really a problem. Like, if you can do a combo offline, chances are you can do it online without much of an issue. And there's already kind of problems with some combos that, like, I was talking with Jason Knight, and there's, I think it was Anitech, and we already noticed right away some combos that we can do offline we just couldn't do online. So we started, like, dropping hits from them and just making sure it was, like, guaranteed damage as opposed to, like, getting a little bit extra.
Right.
So it's kind of a pain. And MBC, like, that had fine online too, and that game moves a lot faster than this game, and there's 3 characters tagging in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what their rationale was. My theory is it is running on a new engine, but I think it's on, like, again, total hypothesis, but it's more of an upgraded Street Fighter 4 engine, which wasn't made for the old tag and thing also, so they might have ran into problems. That's why they had to redo the netcode, and it's not running on what's it called, MT framework is what Marvel vs. Capcom 3 runs on, and maybe that just has better netcode for that type of thing. I don't know.
That could be right.
But who knows? I'm hoping they patch it, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, one mode, dude, we play, like, we were going to stop playing probably about 2 in the morning, maybe 1:30. And there's the two, of course, there's 2-on-2. You're fighting 2-on-2 in this game. There's a 2-on-2 mode. So me and Chris can be a team, and like you and Jason can be on a team. So when we tag out, you go in there and you take over that part of the fight, and then you tag me back in, kind of thing. And that was fun as shit. Cause at this point, it was just me and Scott on a team against, Jason and Dane, Crackerjack, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's bragging time now. We got the bragging rights, but Scott and I took most of the matches. And then again, Jason was like, you know, kind of like a one-man team for a bit, because, you know, I'm sure Cracker had a few and was getting used to the game and stuff. but they called him the Dane's job was to preserve energy or preserve life, so they stay out as long as possible. So if there's like time out or something like that, if time ran out, that they'd still probably get the win. But it was fun. No, that's not saying they definitely won some matches, but we did win the bragging rights for night one. So we'll see what happens tonight. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I'm really, really enjoying it. Outside of the couple online issues here and there.
Have you used any of the Tekken characters yet?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm actually maining one of the Tekken characters right now.
Oh, cool.
Asuka.
Oh, okay.
One
cool.
One of the female characters there. Cause, Anatech was using her and he was just doing some cool stuff. And then I was trying to use Kazuya for a bit. And then I tried like Jin for a bit. And I'm like, they just don't really fit my playing style. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump in the training room and try Asuka. And then I was like, you know what? I really like her. I like the way she plays and she's pretty awesome. So yeah, more on that next week. We'll see if it is the new Truth. Cause right now it's looking like it. A lot of people are playing it and we're having a ton of fun with it.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
All right. Now talk about Mass Effect.
Oh, are you done?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have any other questions. Like I can't really think of. Oh, well, I will say.
How are they handling grapples? Like, I guess my big thing is that if I was going to buy this game, which I still might, it just probably won't be until it's cheap.
Yeah.
My team would obviously be Abel and King. So yeah. I'm wondering how King's grapples work.
I don't know. They're probably similar to how they are in Tekken. I think they all have a lot of like command grapples and stuff like that. I know throwing range for sure is decreased on the default throw. Like you really got to be up in someone's grill to throw them. But I've been grabbed by actual grapplers by quite a decent, distance, similar to that, like Super Street Fighter.
Yeah. Cause the big thing about Tekken or about King and Tekken is he actually has like grapple combos.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if those are there and how they work. And it sounds like a really interesting concept. And that's why I'm interested in the game. But I know if I buy it, I just won't play it.
He definitely has one of the most easiest juggle combos in the game. And that's when he's tagged in. You hit Fierce 4 times, and then he goes into an air grapple, which does a ton of damage and is really easy to do.
So it basically plays like Tekken, basically.
I guess, I don't know. Tekken's really hard to play.
It is very hard to play. I'm really excited.
Yeah, the juggle is all timing.
Way more excited, I'm not going to lie, about Tekken Cross.
I'm not at all.
Oh, really?
I really don't think that game's going to come out, to be honest, but I don't know.
I refuse to go against your predictions anymore, but I really want that game.
It'll be interesting, because I don't know how Street Fighter characters do that. But
they've got to do it. That's the only way they can make a Tekken game sell.
Yeah,
that's it.
Tekken, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably buy it. It'd probably make me interested in it, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I wasn't going to be interested in this. Like, I remember when this game was first announced, I'm like, oh, I'm not interested in Tekken at all. But they really made them feel the Tekken characters play totally different than the Street Fighter characters, but they feel like they belong in the universe. Like they really do fit the art style. And
I guess my big thing about the Tekken Cross Street Fighter would be that being in the Tekken space, you basically remove
fireballs.
Like, yeah, you remove
How do projectiles work?
More than half the specials in the game would have to be removed. Like if they probably wouldn't be any dives and stuff like that. And
You don't have to remove them, but I mean, it's like,
really low,
it has to be all combo based. That's the only time you'd ever use a fireball because you would just sidestep it.
Yeah, that's probably, can you sidestep in Tekken? I can't even remember.
That's you have to sidestep. I mean,
King has a slam combo that starts with a sidestep.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't played Tekken in forever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know, man. It'll be.
Wait, can you punch in Tekken?
A lot of Tekken characters do it. Like, a lot of big concerns from people is, how are the Tekken characters gonna get around Street Fighter players with, like, fireballs? But I mean, when you think about it, over half the cast of Street Fighter don't have fireballs either.
Right, that's true.
So, I mean, and the Tekken guys do have a lot of stuff that, they, like, miss dashes that go through fireballs. They have stuff that can jump over them or get through them quickly. Like, Tekken characters can really move around you really fast. So there's ways around it, and fireballs are kind of, like, they feel a little bit different in this. It feels like they come out faster, but they actually travel slower.
Okay.
Yeah. And one thing they got right, though, lobbies and spectator mode right from the get-go.
So very, very good. Cool. So there's not going to be an ultimate Street Fighter cross Tekken that adds...
No, there totally is.
Well, of course there is.
Well, there isn't, but there is. Like, there's already DLC on the disc, apparently 12 characters.
12? All the Vita characters.
All those Vita characters are actually on the disc already.
Oh, that's so lame.
My guess is they're going to come out. I'm not sure if they're going to rename the game, but I'm sure it'll come out either just after the Vita version, because they probably have one exclusive for Vita for a little while to have people want to get on the Vita first, right? But yeah, who knows how much they're going to cost. But in hindsight, it does kind of make sense, only in one way, because Mortal Kombat did it where you could download each character individually, but the problem was it was a pain in the ass, because if you're playing online with one of those characters, the other person had to have the compatibility pack for every character downloaded. Yeah. And if they didn't, you couldn't use that character. Right. So it was like, what the hell? So this makes sense. So it's like, because they don't want to do another retail release, because I guess they kind of know that they are getting some flack with how they did Ultimate Marvel's Capcom.
It's not just that. It's everything. They did it with Rising. I mean, they do it with everything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I mean, the fighting, like, people want new fighting characters, but I guess they're like, well, you know what? Whatever. I mean, 38, I'd complain a shitload. I would really care if there's like 12 characters in this roster and they weren't getting another 12 till the fall. But I mean, there's 38 characters to begin with. Like, right away, that's fine. If they're going to charge us like 15, 20 bucks for 12 more and maybe a couple new modes, that's fine. I don't care. Like, I know you can do the whole, well, it's on the disc, it should be mine, but realistically, with whatever 40 characters on there, I'd probably be like, oh my god, overwhelmed. Mario overwhelmed with 38.
Yeah.
I don't know who to pick. But it's still kind of douchey, but I mean, hey, whatever. What can you do? People will buy it.
That's right. People will buy it.
So Chris, do you have anything aside from Mass Effect that you played?
I don't. Let's see. Played more Star Wars. I played more Uncharted. I played more Blobs Attack. I played more Wipeout. All those Vita games. And yeah, that's it. I played the Arrival DLC for Mass Effect 2.
How'd you like that?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's a 90 minute, you know.
It's mission. Exposition.
Yeah. I think that the actual mission, the substance of the mission that they're trying to get across is necessary for when you go into 3. Like, Jeff, you played the demo, right?
The demo of the Arrival?
No, the demo of 3.
I played the demo of 3, yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking about it. I just couldn't, for some reason, I brain farted. But the point is that, like, you have to be reinstated. Shepard has to be reinstated. And Arrival tells you, is the story, it's the mission that got, that made it so he had to be reinstated.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal. Like, it's actually quite significant what it does. And it's something that I think Shepard never did. I mean, we can kind of say it, right? It's Mass Effect 2. Statue of Limitations is pretty much out on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens at the end of Arrival?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been over a year.
You sacrifice an entire colony and you kill a lot of Batarans.
Yeah.
So that's why he's
300,000 Batarans die.
Yeah. So basically,
thanks, guys, jerks.
The Alliance had to do it. The Alliance had to, kind of like take him down for a second.
Right.
But that's good. Did I talk about last week? I realized before Mass Effect 3 that I never played Overlord or Kasumi.
I don't think I played Kasumi.
I did. It was good. Kasumi's cool. Okay. Yeah, it was more or less. Kasumi does a cool thing about how it's not much less combat, but there's more like they're in this big area to where there's like a party going on, some rich guy's party, and you actually have to do a lot of investigating and trying to sneak around and open a safe and everything, because she's a thief, so you're kind of helping her steal something from this rich guy's house. It's really fun and cool. And it's definitely more with Overlord. It's definitely more combat based, and they actually do some hammerhead stuff, which personally it's more meh to me. The end of Overlord though was absolutely fantastic. Really, really emotional stuff at the end of that, DLC. So I really enjoyed that. So I had to play catch up too, because I realized it was actually like a little late Christmas present too, because I was like, oh my God, I got like two DLC packs that I've never played.
Well, look at that.
Or Mass Effect 3. I got some Mass Effect 2 to play. That's good. So that was fun. I enjoyed that and it helped me out, which is cool. I'm glad I did Kasumi, because, stuff like that, these side characters pop up everywhere, and it was cool that I got a little more into that, for the third game.
I kind of tweeted about this, but I had the issue where I thought where my save was corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tried to play Arrival, it said that I couldn't because my save was corrupted and asked me if I wanted to delete it. And I was like, no, fucking don't delete it.
Yeah. So what happened with that?
Based on some advice that I got on Twitter, I went to, there's like a, this MassEffectSaves.com or something like that. And I tried to find a save. You know, people are able to upload their saves.
Well, before that, people listening, his, Chris's save was fucked and just corrupted. So he did not have his Mass Effect 1 or 2 save anymore.
Right? I said that.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
How'd I fucking miss that? I've been seeing it too.
But, so I went to MassEffectSaves.com and I downloaded the one that was as close as I could get to my Shepard. Right, because they have like a bunch of different save files up there, and then they have a way to edit them, you know, if you need to edit them, and then you use a program called Modio, and Modio is the same program that you use to transfer the Skyrim save that I used to transfer the Skyrim save to PC. Okay. So you use Modio, and you can actually, you know, you can change the files with the actual files within the Xbox save file. So. The Xbox save file for Mass Effect, it's one file. And then when you open it up in Modio, it's like all of your saves that you see in Mass Effect are in there. So I tried to transfer I made a new character, tried to transfer the new save that I downloaded into the new character's save file. And then I had actually pulled down my other two save files to try and pull them up in Modio. And saved them without changing anything in them. All I did was like in Modio, I hit save. And then I transferred all of them back to my 360 and then it worked. I'm not sure why, but I got it to work and that's all I gave a fuck about. So I was like the save that I downloaded, that one didn't show up, but who the fuck cares? I got my Shepard back, right?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it did end up working. And as soon as it loaded the game, I was like, pause, save new game, you know, create new file. And, you know, I was, you know, pretty determined to make sure that shit didn't happen again. But, yeah. Talk about a heart attack. Cause it's like, oh my God, I've been, you know,
I would have shat my, like, I don't even know if I'm pretty sure mine are there. I played Mass Effect recently. So they should be. Well, I know my new Shepard is like my female Shepard is on there. I should probably check to see if my, like,
it probably is. It sounds like Chris's thing was kind of like a freak occurrence.
Well, I think what happened with mine is you guys remember when I upgraded to the 250 gig?
Right.
Yeah. I think that is what happened when it happened.
Some like bad transferring?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but you know what? It works now and that's all I give a shit about. Yeah.
So Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna comment on what you're gonna say because I don't want to talk about it too much because I've only played like 8 hours of it. You're done.
I know Shepard's a Krogan. Who would have thought it? Yeah. Who would have thought it?
Oh, my Shepard's a Dasari. What are you talking about?
He can totally bang Rex.
How did that happen? So
I'm actually pissed Rex died in my playthrough because I really think he looks awesome in this. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of a badass in this one too.
Yeah.
So Chris, what were we gonna say?
What I was saying is that I'm not gonna talk about it too much right now because as I said, I've only played it 8 hours. You know, I've got more to play and I don't feel like I've even scratched the surface yet.
Right.
So.
Well, I will go in. Let's do some basic mechanics and everything. Like we mentioned with the trailer, I mean, not the trailer, but with the demo, this is very much Mass Effect. They did not change too much in the general gameplay.
Right.
There are a couple of tweaks here and there. Like, you know, you can combine, you know, biotic powers with, more of, your synthetic powers and everything.
The engineering.
Yeah. This is really cool. So if Liara is like doing like singularity and a person's like helplessly floating in space, you can have someone else come behind them and do like slam or any other type of like overload or anything like that. And it mixes the things and you actually can build up toward an achievement for, you know, double teaming these guys.
Oh yeah. I do that shit all the time, dude.
It's awesome.
I do that shit all the time. Cause I use, I'm using a Sentinel and the Sentinel kind of has a little bit of everything.
Right.
So I've got overload and I've got warp. So a lot of times I'll tell Liara to do, warp and then I'll do overload and that's a combo. And then I'll turn around and get Garrus to do overload and I'll do warp and that's a combo. So
yeah, awesome.
I'm doing that shit all the time. As soon as I see someone with shields, it's like overload warp, you're fucking dead. It's like, it's awesome.
Yeah. And, so I enjoyed the hell out of it. I don't think the game does a really, really great job of kind of explaining a lot of the mechanics. You know, in the beginning of the game, they're telling you how to play, how to shoot, how to climb, how to run, but they're not really doing a great job in explaining a lot of different things. You know, one of the things that I had that I was kind of happy with, you know, they announced multiplayer and I'm interested in it and I still do want to play it. But in the course of the story, you know, in the course of the game being developed, BioWare said that you don't need to do multiplayer to get the best ending in the game. You know, you don't have to do that. It's completely separate if you want it to be. You just got to do a little extra work in the single player. And I'm going to tell you what, guys.
It's basically takes – it's the if you don't want to do the online, you just got to do more of the scanning.
That's yeah, what I've and read. I do yeah. not see how that's true because I scanned 100% of that galaxy. 100%. And I did not come close to the best ending.
Really?
Did not come close. I promise you. I even went back and looked at the math. I did not come close.
One of the reviews that I read said that you know, I'm actually looking for the quote right now, but it said basically what you just said. It's like the multiplayer, you could do everything that you need to do in the single player game without touching the multiplayer.
Yeah. And I just don't see, unless I miss some, like a chain of crucial missions. I know I missed one or two. I know I missed one or two because they also don't explain to you that if you, take too long, you'll instantly fail a mission and everything. So I didn't know that either. So I missed like the first couple of quests that I kind of let sit on the side for a little bit. So you have to make sure once it pops up, you need to do it. 100%. You need to do it because it will go away. But that only happened with a couple of missions for me. So, you know, I'm looking at my readiness, you know, to take on the final battle. And it's up there. It is up there. So basically how it sits is you have your total, overall military strength. All right. And it gives you like an X amount. It gives you a number. Okay. And it goes into the thousands. The more you pick up, the more you find, the more you scan, the more you recruit, that gets bigger. But when you go to the next level, it says, like galactic readiness. All right. And it says 50%, and it'll always say 50% unless you play multiplayer. So what that 50% does, since the galaxy's not quite ready and based on what the stat's telling me, it takes my, say if I have 4,000 points into my army, my military, that 50% cuts it in half. So my overall, my final net total is 2,000 readiness. Okay? So I did every single scan. I did every single thing that I could possibly do with, like I said, with the exception of two missions. But those two missions were not going to get me nearly the amount of points I needed to get the correct amount of, military points to get the best ending. And I researched online to the minimum amount of points you need for that. And I was not close, and there's no way those two missions that I feel that I missed would have put me over that line. I wouldn't have come close. The only way you can do that is do the multiplayer to where that 50%, the more you do the multiplayer in different sections of the galaxy, that goes up and up and up the more you defend the galaxy. So that 50% will come 60 and then become 70%, and it's taking less of your military because your galaxy's more ready to take on the Reapers. So it's, I just don't see how you can do it without it. I really, really don't. And I'm sure it's possible.
Looks like I'm going to be doing some multiplayer then.
I'm going to be doing some multiplayer. And what I want to say is let's do a night.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. We got to have a multiplayer night then.
You have to play at least once a week or your percentage in your readiness is going to degrade.
What?
That is retarded.
If you don't play more than a week, it drops a percentage. It'll never drop below 50. It'll never drop below 50. But if you play a lot one week and you bump it up, bump a couple of sectors to 70%, if you wait 7 days, that 70% degrades down and drops.
Oh, that's retarded.
That sounds that sounds ridiculous. Why are they doing that?
So
force somebody
to get EA. I bet EA has something.
Yeah, totally EA. But,
forcing you to play the multiplayer. And okay.
It's getting as bad as Metacritic now, where it shows like the top 10 games played online. It's like if your game isn't in that, it's like, oh, we gotta do something to keep it up in there.
And of all the games that don't need it, of all the games that people it never needed it. It's just not necessary. And for my experience to waver because of what I feel is necessary, you have to play it. That kind of ticked me off because, you know, I want the best ending for my Shepard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And to feel that I have to place a multiplayer mode that I'll play it. I'm interested, but something that I really don't want to do. I want to stick with the single player. I want to play Mass Effect 3 like I've played 1 and 2 by myself, engraced in a story, not having to talk to people online, just to play the fucking game. And it's kind of ridiculous. Like I said, I'm sure I missed a couple of things here and there. And yeah, maybe you don't need it. But I think you need to do a damn near perfect run. And we all know with Mass Effect, that's hard to do.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
yeah.
hard to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an issue. It really is an issue. And I will say one more thing about the game, because I know, Chris, you're not going to talk too much more about it unless you have something else to say. But I feel, I'll go ahead and say it, I like Mass Effect 2 better. I'll go ahead
don't,
and say it.
Okay. Well, yeah, don't say anything more than that.
I won't.
It's, yeah.
But,
well, I will say this. So far, I like Mass Effect 3 better.
I'll say right now, Travis definitely is not in the minority, that's for sure, from what I've read.
Oh, really?
But I'm hearing a lot of Uncharted 3, basically. Like, basically what we talked about in the Game of the Year thing is almost everyone says 3 is, like, this is by review, it's not spoiling, I have not even played the game.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you love Mass Effect 2, you will love this game, but it's not at all like the jump from 1 to 2 was. It's basically like Uncharted. If you like Uncharted 2, you'll like 3, but it's not necessarily better.
Well, I bet you, because I'm in my New Game Plus right now, I'm about 3-4 hours into that. I really do feel that through this New Game Plus, if I do everything right and I get the final ending that I really want, I think I'm going to enjoy it better and I may come back in this.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, and like I said, not spoiling at all. I even read this in a review, so it's not really shouldn't be a surprising thing. I do feel that, that Mass Effect 2 had a way better beginning and end. But I think the meat of Mass Effect 3, the middle, is just, eons better than what Mass Effect 2 did.
Right. So Mass Effect 2, really... when you look at it, when you step back and look at it, Mass Effect 2 is a bunch of recruitment missions, and that's pretty much it.
Pretty much it.
You know, and then you've got a few side missions here and there, but the entire story is a recruitment. Yeah. It's just a recruitment, and then you go and fight the final battle.
Yeah. And there's so much variety in the meat of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Now, one of the things.
No film grain.
Oh my God.
I just found that out today.
But I always turn that off, so.
I always turn that off too. I really don't care.
Oh, what's wrong with you guys?
I always turn it off. The one thing that I wanted to say is that I like that they integrated some of the things that were in part one that were taken out in part two. Like, you can find weapon upgrades now and equipment, like different pieces. You can actually mod your weapons now, like you could in the first one. There's different armor pieces that you can find and you can mix and match your armor based on how your Shepard is designed and how you think that he should work. So they've done a lot more of that. And I really, really enjoy that part of it. They basically made it so, they gave you all of this stuff without having the horrible inventory management that you had in the first one. Because basically when you pick up a new gun, it says, hey, you picked up a new gun. You want to change your loadout? And you can change it or you cannot. And regardless, nothing changes in your inventory unless you change what gun you're carrying.
Right.
You know, so it's completely streamlined and they gave you the upgrade mechanics to it as well. The only thing that I don't like is this whole thing with they've got a weight mechanic now where if you're carrying too much, your powers regenerate slower. And whereas it hasn't been that big of a deal for me so far, I'm also not carrying a full load of weapons.
It's not significant.
Get that Oblivion
though.
Out of my Mass Effect.
it's not that significant though, like the recharge time and everything, because you have so many things that help your recharge get better. Like you can mine for things that could, you know, you can choose to recharge faster. You can, when you level up, there's some, like your leveling up points split into two after a certain point.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
So you can choose and everything. Well, it just depends. You kind of like take more.
You're building your Shepherd to what you want. Yeah. That's what it is.
If you want more health, you get more health. If you want more damage, you do more damage. Like you choose.
If you
want
to expand the radius of your power, you can do that. You know, it's like, Jeff, just to give you an idea, it's like, you know how it's got the normal level up bar and you get to choose your powers and you level up those powers. Well, when you get to the fourth level of your power, you choose either this upgrade or this upgrade. And then the fifth is this upgrade or this upgrade. So you can't have everything. It's a min and max thing, sort of.
That's all right.
It's their version of min and maxing.
Is it still the way where if you do a mission, that's basically you leveling up, or is it actually experience now?
It's experience now.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
it's experience. So it's very easy to level up. I've leveled up twice in a mission, so it's possible to do that. The scanning. Oh, thank you.
So much better.
It's so much better. Now, instead of scanning a planet, you scan the system.
Yeah.
So it's like you
talked about that last week, didn't we?
No. We talked about it a little bit via
email. Oh, we talked about it off air. Okay. Right. Yeah.
But basically it's like as you're in the Normandy flying into this solar system, you can scan and whatever you scan in a particular radius of the system, and Edie will say, "Hey, I found something." And you just go to that spot and you pick up whatever you found. Now the caveat to that is that scanning, if you're scanning in a system that's inhabited by the Reapers, then the Reapers can recognize your scan because otherwise you're stealthed. So if they know, they can see your scan, and they, if you do it too much, they will converge on you and you have to make an escape.
And those bitches are fast.
They are fast. They are fast.
They are
I basically, if I know that my next scan is going to, trigger them coming at me, I will start leaving I'll find the spot where I want to scan and then start heading to the exit and scan on the way out. And it's like, if anything picks up, it's like, okay, I know where it is now. And I just leave.
They did a good job in trying to kind of limit you, so you're just not, kind of breaking the game by just doing constant scanning. But it is really easy to kind of like get past the Reapers. Like, you can go back in, go back out, go back in, go back out. So even though they're on alert, so it's like, I know that if I keep on going in, I don't know where it's going to place me. But if I know the fuel tank that I need to excavate is in the north sector, I will go back into the far back map. I'll just go around a little bit, enter from the north, grab the fuel tank, and head out. It's kind of easy to exploit the system.
Yeah, I haven't actually tried that yet. If
it's really simple, yeah.
Yeah. If the Reapers are in the system, I just don't go back until after I do a mission. And after you do a mission, it resets, so you can go back to the solar system and scan again for your whatever you missed.
You ever got caught yet?
No, I haven't gotten caught yet.
Just says, game over. Nothing else.
Oh, really? I expected like a cutscene where it's like shows a flashy death.
It just goes game over. Dong, 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 dong. It's weird. So
reload, retry.
Yeah. And basically, I've heard that that's the best way to do it. Just like whatever, just let them kill you, then reload, and you just reload right there anyway.
Yeah, you reload right there.
Oh, really?
No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right there.
So it's almost better just to do that.
Oh, speaking of saving, can I say what a great idea was to have a save button?
What's the save button?
If the back button or select if you're on PlayStation 3.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
You can walk around anywhere.
I didn't know that.
Hit the save button and turn off your system.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Love it. Now, you can't do it like when you're in the midst of combat, but like if you're in an area where there's no enemies and you're just kind of like standing around, you can, or anywhere in a citadel or any mission to where you just kind of like have free roam, you can easily just hit the select button and it saves it and you can stop.
Now, does it just save it to the autosave save file?
Yes.
Ah, see, I like to have multiple save files, so I was still going in.
I do too.
And save, so. But, yeah, I mean, I'm satisfied. I'm, that's all I need to talk about with Mass Effect for right now.
Yep,
until I get through it.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it on Saturday.
It's really good, dude. It's really good.
I'm sure it is. Can't wait to try it.
You're getting yours from Jeff BT-Dub?
To BT-Dub, Better Tomorrow. Yeah, he was able to secure me a N7 edition, so.
Nice.
That's why
Mazel, good things.
Yeah, he's coming over for the Street Fighter Cross Tekken Day, so. I'll
yeah,
that.
We gotta figure out, we'll figure out another time, but we need to figure out our Mass Effect Online night.
Yeah, we'll do something.
We'll do a Save the Galaxy Night or something like that.
There you go.
Saving the Galaxy Sundays.
Yay.
Cool. Anything else?
That's good for me. I'm
good. I
think
so.
Cool, let's do some news.
Yeah. All right.
So I only have two things. And
okay.
I'm gonna, and I could easily, who gives a shit, both of these. So I'm going to throw them out there and I'm going to see what you guys think. Okay. So GDC was this past week, and, Quantic Dreams,
Heavy Rain
showed off their new engine, a prototype with a video name that they created an Android, named Kara. And okay. So I want to know what you guys think about this.
I think it's awesome. I love Quantic Dream. I loved Indigo Prophecy. Love Heavy Rain. I'm hyped for, what they can do with this new engine they're running. I want to see a new game.
I want to see more than a movie. That's my thing.
I like that. I
want to see more than a movie. I don't want a quick time movie.
You're not ever going to play a Quantic Dream game ever again, because that's what they make.
That's what they do.
Then I am glad that their graphics are awesome, but I enjoy gameplay more than looking at a picture.
For like a 2.5-3 minute scene, they did a really good job with that, though, like invoking emotion.
Oh, I agree. I mean, 100%.
They get you 100% behind this android girl within minutes, and then something happens, and you're like, no, 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 no. Like, it's like you have general caring and worry for this person that this character is not established. You have no idea who this person is or what this thing is, and you automatically give a shit.
No, so I agree 100%. I think they did a great job with the actual movie. Problem is that it's not a game for me to play. So the day after the game's released, I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch it. And that's what I'll do.
Well, good. And that's good.
Didn't somebody actually make that game on a bunch of YouTube videos and just do like kind of like choose your own adventure?
I'm sure they did.
That would be entertaining.
It's like when it comes to a decision, you click, which is something you do? And then you click it and it goes to the next video.
But that is the game. It is a choose-your-own-adventure game. Like, I don't get...
Get, like, defensive. It's just like that's... some people don't like that. I mean, I guess that's kind of the way adventure games... Because it's really not that much different than a point-and-click adventure game was back
in
the day.
No, it's not. Yeah. It kind of is the evolution of what...
Of what that is that, or what that become, was. Yeah, exactly. But just not for a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not downing it. I mean, there are people that enjoy that. But I personally would rather spend my time with something else.
So, yeah, especially at this age when you're like, you have limited time.
I have so little time to play games. I want to play a game that I actually play. I guess that's what I'm
saying. I gotcha.
But I will, as I said, I thought that the video that they showed was really, really impressive. Travis is 100% right. They trigger emotion in you very, very quickly. You get attached to this character, within 60 seconds. You're attached to this character. And all of a sudden, you're like, no, that can't happen. And they do a really good job with it.
I'll have to check it out on break or something.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Awesome.
The only other thing I got is Molyneux's leaving.
Peter Molyneux's
leaving Lionhead and forming 22 cans.
Okay.
Of bullshit, because that's all he ever spits out.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking. Okay, I don't buy this Molyneux leaving.
You don't buy it?
I don't buy it.
Why don't you buy it?
I don't buy it. Okay.
Because if he said it, that's probably bullshit.
Here's the deal. He created Lionhead. That's his own studio. He made a new studio already. I'm sure his dream is not to make another studio one day. Like, he's already done that. Like, I can understand someone who's just worked for Sony.
He wants to do casual games, though.
Here's my thing. Like, I think he spends more Microsoft's money than what people realize. I would not be. I'm not saying I don't want to start like this whole thing. But
so
like,
you're thinking he might have been fired.
I don't think he was fired. I think he was given the option. I think he was getting the option. Like the skit that's playing in my head all day since I heard the news. Kind of like that. But the skit that's kind of been playing in my head was like this. It's like Peter going like, all right, I have this idea. A game is going to be a day in the life of a industrial juicer. And I can hear Microsoft be like, okay, Peter, we got to talk, dog. Like, we have to have a conversation. This isn't working. Like, we need to do something with this.
You couldn't make Fable exciting. How are you going to make a story about a fucking
juicer? Like, you fucked up the best game you've ever made. You fucked up the best series. We got to talk. And I think there may have been like an option because he made his own studio. They were living the dream, dude. Lionhead can literally do whatever they want. All right. And they also gave him a really cush job at Microsoft. Like he was the head of, the head of like Microsoft Game Studios or like one of the creative directors or something like that. Like he was.
Yeah, but he did say he wants to make like iOS games and stuff like that. Cause he literally said that controllers are boring now. And, basically archaic, so he wants to work on, like, touch screen.
He can eat a dick, because
who knows?
He's given up on us.
Yeah, probably. Well, I don't think he's given up on us. He's given up on us, Jeff.
I honestly think
it's a situation where something happened between him and Microsoft, and they are just done with each other.
I agree.
That is the example.
I don't think they would have fired him, though. I think they would have been like, hey, listen, dude. You gotta stop saying this shit. You just stick to making the games. He's probably like, well, I don't want to make these
games. Peter, do you know what on rails means? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, apparently he was giving a demo at GDC because, he was still doing the demos there for Fable Journey or whatever. Mm-hmm. And apparently he was like, all right, so just stand up in front of the camera and, I'm not gonna tell you how to play the game. There's no tutorial in the game. I'm not gonna guide you, but okay, this is how you go forward. Like, dude, you can't
just
do
love
that.
Something and you walk forward. Just love. Yeah, exactly.
Just feel. Just feel. But yeah, I don't know. I made a prediction. Prediction show that Lionhead Studios would probably get dissolved or go away. And there was like no hint of this. Like, I honestly swear on my balls. Never
swear on my balls.
But I mean, this, I didn't have any, like, any insider info because we have no insiders or anything like that. But I find that kind of really freaking weird that he's leaving. If he's leaving, I could totally see Microsoft. I don't know if they'd keep the Lionhead name because I don't know if that. I guess it still probably has clout.
I think it does.
Gamers, and, so and they might just keep it
to
as Lionhead.
To be fair, Fable 4 is in development.
And that is true. It is in development.
And I don't think Microsoft's going to drop Europe their biggest the fantasy world. Brand. Before that game drops. I mean, they could dissolve Lionhead and it go just to Microsoft Game Studios. Like, it could happen.
Yeah,
but
they could do that, yeah. Who knows? So, we'll see. It's still, well, yeah, hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it doesn't, like, I mean, jobs usually lost when that shit happens.
They'll give it the 343 anyway.
Yeah. Hey, man, they dropped that Halo 4 vid dog, and it's looking pretty hot.
That looks really, really
I'm
good.
Like, I'm like, you made the game better looking than Bungie ever had the game in your first try. So...
Looking, but with the gameplay that they showed, they showed a lot of multiplayer gameplay, and it looks like it plays just like Halo, though, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. But with, like, upgrades and shit. It looks like Reach on crack, basically.
It looks really, really good. And but what really got me, because, first of all, let's say that, I mean, we said it earlier today, that is one of the best video documentaries for a video game I've seen, especially for, like, the first episode. They showed off a lot of good stuff. And, what really turned me on about it was, cause I always think that, I mean, there's some really good mythology, like some great mythology in Halo. They just never convey that in the video games.
No.
They kind of got close with Halo Reach, in terms of, like, you know, giving these Spartans a life. But
even
apparently,
then, you still need to read the books to really understand that.
Yeah. But apparently it's going to be a huge, huge focus on Master Chief and who he is, more on his humanity. And I'm excited about that. Like, I want to know more about Master Chief. So that's going to be pretty cool if it's done well. But the game looks great so far. I'm excited.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Anything else?
Anything else?
That's all I got.
That's all I have. Nothing really. I mean, iPad 3 was announced. No one's surprised. Actually, Better Tomorrow made a funny joke on Twitter. He's like, do I buy an iPad 3 day one or do I save up my money for another week and get the iPad 4?
I will say this. About that, I think it's really cool that they are working in a Retina display into the iPad.
No, it's sexy.
But the question I have is anybody going to be able to tell the difference? I mean, that is a 10-inch screen.
Is the Vita Retina display?
No, it's AMOLED, and it's like 500 and something P or something like that. And this is something that's greater than 1080p. And it's on a 10-inch screen. I mean, are you really going to be able to tell the difference between that and 720p?
I'm not sure if the iPhone 4 is a Retina or not, but there's a huge difference between the three. Okay, yeah, you can totally tell the difference then, and that's just on an iPhone.
Well, right? Yeah, but the iPhone 3 was a crappy-ass screen.
I don't know. It looked pretty good. I wouldn't say crappy. I mean, for the time
compared
I mean,
to the four,
now,
it was crappy.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What I'm getting at is not compared from the iPad to the iPad or iPad 2 to the The,
You're
whatever
saying
the
that
new
the jump
is.
From the iPad, the iPhone 3 to 4 would have been bigger than iPad 2 to 3.
No, what I'm getting at is, you know, I don't understand why they went above the 1080p mark. Cause you're not going to be able to tell the difference between 1080p and this new resolution that they're working on.
But that's my point though. You just said that the 4 has a Retina display.
The 4 does have a Retina display.
There's a huge difference between the iPhone 3 and the iPhone 4 screen.
Right, but
so if the iPhone,
that's,
if
but
the
iPhone 3 was not 1080p compared to the iPhone 4. It wasn't the same relationship. The relationship I'm making is a 1080p resolution on a 10-inch screen. So, but I don't understand why you would need more than that. The iPad 2 isn't 1080p. They definitely need better than the iPad 2.
But, well, I guess
what are we talking
is,
about? I have no clue what you guys are talking
about. Though, if you can see a difference, whether or not it's just the resolution or not, on an iPhone, you'll probably see a huge difference on the iPad, resolution or not. Because I mean,
you're still
sure,
not getting
might,
what I'm saying. I don't think.
I know you're getting the resolution. There's no point in putting a 1080p because it's a small screen. You can just do it with 720p.
No,
even
no,
less
no, no,
than
no.
That.
What I'm saying is, why wouldn't you just stop at 1080p?
I don't know.
That's my point. You're not going to be able to tell the difference between a 1080p picture and whatever they're doing. And the point, and then why are people even going to use the resolution that they're using? Because 1080p, to get games running on a good PC in 1080p, you need a lot more horsepower than the iPad has.
Got you. But, okay, what else is Retina display? Is that just it? Just resolution?
That's the big thing, is the resolution. It's all about DPI. It's all about
DPI. Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying in terms of brightness, like clarity and everything.
I will say
this,
my phone is a lot brighter than the Retina display on the iPhone 4.
I'm not arguing that. Okay. I'm just saying that I had an iPhone 3 and an iPhone 4, and I don't care. I don't know what the resolution is or anything like that. All I know is when I turned on that iPhone 4, I was like, holy shit, like right away, this is a way better screen.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be better than the iPad 2.
I know what you're saying. You're saying what's the point is basically the resolution. Because, like, they don't need to go over that.
I think they could have just, people wanted 1080p, I think they just could have stopped there.
Yeah, I know, but your thing was, do you think anyone would notice? And I'm saying, I bet you a lot of people will notice.
They will notice the difference between the two and the new one, but they won't be able to tell the difference between 1080p and this
one. No, of course. Right. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the actual screen itself, people, at first glance, will be like, yeah, that's a better looking screen. Of course they're not going to know the difference between the resolution, because I don't know the difference on resolution on a 1080p screen that's like 20 whatever inches large. There's no point.
Right. Right.
Oh my God. Where did that come from, guys?
Chris asked if anyone would notice a difference.
Yeah. That's what there is to talk about with the new iPad. There's that and there's the new processor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it's stronger than the Xbox and the PS3.
I think that's misleading.
I think it was Cliffy or Epic that said that or something like that.
Someone said something. I'm sure in some ways it is. I mean, because it's new technology, it could probably, right. I mean, things get easier to do, but I'm pretty positive you threw like Killzone 3, Uncharted 3 on that thing, it wouldn't run exactly how it runs on a PS3.
Right. And it's very misleading because they came out and said quad core, but it's the main CPU is still a dual core CPU. The GPU is a quad core GPU. In retrospect, some of the Android, now Android is a completely different system, so it doesn't mean it's going to be faster. I'm just saying. Excuse me. Some of the newer Android tablets right now that are coming out have a quad core main CPU, and there's one that has like a 12 core GPU.
So you're basically saying this sucks because it's Apple.
No, I'm not. I'm saying because in reality, due to how lightweight iOS is, the iPad 2 is still just as fast as some of these. It's still just as fast as the newer stuff that's coming out for Android. Because it's not running as much stuff. It's all about how lightweight that OS is. So yeah. I'm not saying it sucks. I'm just saying that it's misleading because they said, oh, it's quad core, but it's just the GPU is quad core. It's not, it's like saying, that the Jaguar was actually 64-bit.
Yeah, it's not at all.
Right. And that's what I'm getting at. It's like, don't be misled. It's still very powerful. I'm not saying it's not, but it's still a dual core CPU and it's a quad core GPU.
Well, it's still going to have people lined up for it at every Apple store and
absolutely.
Stores across the world. So.
Absolutely. And in reality, it's funny because I thought that the time to get on board, I thought that this new one, cause I consider if you're into Apple products, every other year is your sweet spot. That's the way you should do it. Every other year is the way to go. It doesn't make any sense to go every year. I thought that this was going to be a larger jump than it actually was.
Well, the 4 probably will be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the 4 is going
to,
it's going
to
have
something crazy.
It's probably
more like the iPhone 3 to the 3S kind of or something.
Exactly.
Like
or the 4 to the 4S. It's very similar.
Yeah, exactly.
Very similar. So.
Either way, I love my tablet. I mean, you use a tablet now too, don't you?
I do not, but the one that I am actually. So there's a rumor about the one that I'm interested in getting. There's an Asus tablet coming out next quarter that's going to be quad core running Ice Cream Sandwich, which is the latest version of Android, and it's a 7-inch tablet, and it's going to be $200.
It's called Ice Cream Sandwich.
Yes, every Android. Have you not noticed this?
I probably have.
Every version of Android is a dessert.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's like apple pie.
There's no apple pie yet. But, what was the last one? 2.3 was called gingerbread.
Funnel cake?
I'm looking
Funnel cake is not there yet.
It's like people eat half of it and then say, ugh.
This is too much Android.
They use it for half a year, and then like, oh, gotta get a new one.
No, but the point I was making is that they're releasing a 7-inch quad core tablet for $250.
And it'll be running Jell-O mold.
Jell-O mold. Yes.
Fruitcake.
Fruitcake. I love it.
But yeah, so I am, well, honestly, I'm hoping that what happens is my cousin's going to get a 3. And then she said that if she gets her 3 from work, then she might give me her original.
Nice.
So I might have an iPad. At one point or another, but I'm still gonna get that 7-inch.
I don't care about process speech that one comes out. Like, I really barely, I mean, I played Infinity Blade and little games here and there, but I have not touched a game on it in like a month.
And that's really the thing. It's like, I would use it and I would try Infinity Blade and I would try Sword and Sorcery, and that would probably be the extent of it.
And then porn.
Basically. There's porn.
Porn and tweets, basically, for, that's what Jeff uses it for, right?
Porn, tweeting, and emails.
And emails.
All at the same time, actually.
Yep.
That's that processor working. That's what it is.
There we go. All right, can we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Please.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about free sexuality within games, and then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us.
Sounds good.
And we'll be right back.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came, and the responsibilities. And I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog Support Group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a nonprofit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Yay.
Yay. That was very enthusiastic. All right, today.
We still break too. Like, we're actually back the same day.
We are back the same day. And I didn't have to hide in a closet this time.
No.
Today we are going to be talking about free sexuality in games. This is a kind of base of, that's how we worded it.
That was a joke.
Dude,
I like
funny.
It. That was cool.
I'm not sure what was so funny. That was how we worded it.
It was the whole in the closet joke. It was funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Well played, sir. I missed that. Totally missed that. So this has a lot to do with the stir that Mass Effect has started, but with the ability to have homosexual relationships within the game. So we actually got more emails than I thought we are, so I'm going to pass it over to Travis and let him read them.
All right. We got one coming from Kasim Farid. It says, hi, Death Row from the forums.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, hey, what's up, dude?
I think the answer to this question is pretty simple. Same-sex relationships happen, and a game that aims to be relatable to the player, to be realistic in the way it handles the character relationship, should not avoid apparently controversial subjects because of a few bigots that would be offended. It wouldn't change the game for me, but I gain respect for a developer when it doesn't limit their creative vision to avoid offending a particular portion of the population. Remember, being offended doesn't make you right. Thanks, guys, and it's been a while since I last wrote in, but I am still listening.
Thanks, Ethro. It's been a while.
Sir, it has, yeah.
You've been around VGevo lately, too, or Retroids. Still can't break that habit.
Yeah.
Change the name back, guys, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with this. I mean, I don't know why it's such a big deal in a game when there's TV shows that do it. There's movies that do it. I mean, it's
real life.
There's real life. It's like, this is just another form of media. I don't understand why this particular instance or this particular form of media would cause an issue.
Right.
It's like, I can easily turn on any, I could turn on a show any day of the week, and there's probably, going to be at least one on that evening that has some sort of homosexual reference. And
yeah, pretty much.
I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know what the problem is. So. No, that's my initial thought on that portion of this subject.
Well, let's see what Zeke has to say.
All right,
he
good
says
idea.
There are homosexual people out there. Deal with it. Why shouldn't that
end
be
of email, that's all he
that's done. That's pretty much it.
End
that's
podcast. Done. Thank you guys for listening.
Why shouldn't that be reflected in our games as well? Personally, I don't care if you're able to fuck a talking space goat, as long as it fits in with the story and the goat wants to do it. I think. Now, I think that art should push the line of what is acceptable. That is the way an artist makes you feel and react to the message they want to convey or the story they want to tell. I'm still waiting on a game that challenges the dude bro mentality of Call of Duty. Imagine if you had to choose whether to be a part of genocide or raping the village woman. Things that actually happen in war. Now, the one time I react is when kids are involved. Might be because I became a father myself last year. The baby necromorphs in Dead Space 2 hit a nerve with me. It fit the story, though I at least reflected if the developer wanted to tell us that even our kids become mindless drones, from a brainwashing religion. Or they just went for the shock value. At least it made me think. Later, Zeke.
Thank you, Zeke.
Thanks, Zeke.
Yeah, I agree that there are sensitive topics that shouldn't be messed with, and yeah, rape is definitely one of them.
Oh, that's something.
It's completely separate from this topic, but.
It's not really, it is kind of, it is too.
It's, I don't think it is completely separate because I think the big old hubbub about the gay stuff, the reason it brought this up was, looking on YouTube, and there were just like 80% more dislikes than likes when they're on a video of Shepard and having a gay relationship with one of the characters. And it's like, but of course, like the female version of it, it's like, oh, this is great. Like. But like when it's two dudes, like, and then the bigots in the gaming community just want to say, oh, dislike. And it's just nothing but red. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. I think it's awesome that the developer's doing this. But then going into the rape thing, like, I kind of agree with Jeff. Like, I don't think it's totally different because it's more or less, what is taboo? Male gay relationships, especially in a video game with this dude bro mentality, like Zeke, says, that's like, no, we're not going to have that whatsoever. This isn't going to happen whatsoever. It's like, there are really gay men in the military. They're not going to put a gay character into Call of Duty. You can write that down. It's never going to happen.
Because a lot of those people who would normally buy the game just won't.
They will just not like that whatsoever. And it's very, very sad, but I think rape's on the same level. I think it's super taboo. And I gotta be honest with you. I don't want to say we will never see.
I think we'll see it for sure. I mean,
I think we're far away from it though.
We used to never see it in movies. And I mean, everyone who's talking about Girl in the Dragon Tattoo, all I ever heard was the rape scenes. And, there was another movie, I can't remember what the hell the name of the movie was called. It has that girl, she was in The Matrix. She's kind of like half Asian or something. I can't remember her name, really big boobs.
She's Monica Bellucci?
Yes.
Apparently that's like a 7-minute rape scene or something like that? That's like a really, like that.
It's really graphic and like really whatever. And it's like, that was like the talk when that happened. It was because it's still pretty rare to see something like that in movies where they actually go into that kind of graphic detail and stuff like that. But it's the same thing. You're going to get people, it's good, like controversial, it's kind of taboo. It's like, oh my God, oh my God. Like before it was like, if you saw a woman get killed in a movie, it was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like women and kids and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just like, it just becomes more tolerable. Not that I would ever say that rape should ever become tolerable, because I really don't think it's, because that's kind of different than someone's sexuality. This is actually harmful to people and it's depicting a really bad, sure, there's games out there where you shoot people in the face and like cut them to smithereens, but it's a fantasy world and it's fake. And I think if you like to play video games, like I need like, de-stress, I'm going to go beat someone up in a fighting game, or I'm going to go shoot some people in Call of Duty. I think those people, that's a more norm mental state than someone who says, I like to see people get raped in some kind of visual medium. I think that's a total different. That's like, that's just fucked up.
Right.
So that's kind of like that. Yeah. That's just, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I just,
that
don't,
could be like, it's a totally different topic actually when you think about it, but it's kind of in the same line of,
because of the taboo factor.
Yeah. Because the whole gay thing never would have happened like 5-10 years ago. I mean,
no,
not in a mainstream game anyway. I think was Dragon Age 1 the first one that might have let you do that?
I mean,
and the thing is, okay, it's not even that. It's male on male that people have the big problem with.
Yeah.
It's not female on female. Like, sure, there's going to be some people who don't like the whole female.
Yeah, it's male on male and only males give a shit.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. I can totally, you know, I got my female shepherd and making out with Liara, but no, fuck that. My male shepherd ain't going to fucking touch Garrus. Like, I didn't think he's a fucking alien. That's not the
Die,
problem.
Kaden.
He's an alien. It's that he's a male alien. It's like, really? He's a fucking alien, and the first thing you can say is that's gross because it's a dude? Like, come on.
Because that's the most important part of that.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't fuck a goat, but especially not a male goat. That's, fuck that. Shit's got balls.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway, we have another email.
Anyway, someone else who has balls is our homeboy Nagrik. He says, so free sexuality in games, huh? Well, I'm all for it because I like the ladies so much. I need to be able to marry some guy I don't really like so I can sacrifice him in front of a demon door to get some sweet loots or just to get that divorce achievement. Seriously, though. Well played. It doesn't seem like games that include these choices force you to play through as a gay or a lesbian character. They just give you the avenue to create an experience that appeals to you, and that gets a green light from me. Besides, who gives a shit if a game decides to use these elements? You're not required to play or to buy them. With love, no homo, Nagrik.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's something that I wanted to bring up, and it kind of relates, so I'm going to bring it up now. I definitely have no issue with there being any sort of, you know, homosexuality in a game. Mm-hmm. But, so, like, for instance, you know, you have, and this isn't really spoiling anything, but it doesn't take long to be while you're playing Mass Effect 3, to run into a character that says, it's a male character that says, oh yeah, my husband, you know, so that there's a character that's, you know, obviously gay married.
Yeah.
That said, it is my choice and I would choose not to have my male shepherd have sex with a male character.
Right.
Yeah. It's not forcing you to it. You make those
exactly.
Decisions.
You make that decision. And that's why I don't understand why people are having such a huge deal about this.
So homophobic,
it's like, you do not need to do this. It's not like you're required to say, hey, you know, I'll receive today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not required to, there's no achievement for it. I'm sure, you know, that would be pretty bad, but it's just. You know, I just get
over it.
Gave
it to him good.
Fudge packing.
Pitcher receiver achievement unlocked.
But yeah, I mean, I seriously, it's like, get over it. It's not abnormal for, you know, two people of the same sex to have feelings for each other. So why is it an issue? And it's not an issue in movies. It's not an issue in TV shows.
Oh,
again,
I think
it's
definitely
an issue
in movies, dude. When Brokeback Mountain came out, so many people were pretty vocal about that movie. And you heard
that
about so
one was
many
pretty extreme,
that.
Though, I it's think. Pretty I heard it
you,
was.
You would have to go back and remember it. Because that movie's what, like 5 years old now
something like that? Yeah.
If you went back and looked at articles and stuff from like that time, you'll see like it got quite a bit of a public like uproar, people like boycotting that
movie,
then, or people walking
then
out
at
of
the
it.
Same time, you have the choice not to go see it.
No, exactly.
You know, I mean, do not try and censor the, you know, the creativity of the people that are making these items
exactly.
of media.
Like if anything.
Yeah. But, it's like, just let it be. If you have a problem with it, just don't. Participate. Don't go watch it. Don't buy the game. You know, it's just get over it. Yeah. Get over it.
And even if you know this fucking, it's not a big deal. Like Death Row said, just because it offends you doesn't make you right. And that's the like, that's what pissed me off the most. To think, well, it's not what I do, so it's got to be wrong. And fuck that. Yeah. Like, open mind, people. We're at 2012. Like, come on. I mean, go back and watch Delirious, like Eddie Murphy. And some of the shit he says that would have been so offensive back then, and the ignorant things that he even said, like all the AIDS stuff and all that stuff, is so laughable now.
Yeah.
It's, people just need to grow up and like get with the times and be like, no one's forcing you to do this. No one's forcing you to be like, hey, go and kiss that dude, or, you know what, stop liking girls, or or the other way, even stop liking guys and like girls.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. I mean, it comes down to, and this is actually kind of, I mean, we have another email, but it's still kind of my final thought. It's like, you got to ask yourself, like, where are you at as an adult in this world? Like, where are you? And I mean, it's easy to laugh at that, but like, it's like, seriously, like, are you at the point, you know, are you at a point to where if something like is, okay, obviously it's not a problem with not liking homosexuality, that it doesn't turn, it's not what turns you on. It's okay to not like it, that, because you have your taste and your flavors. But to go out, I mean, and I see it all the time. I mean, we're in the South, man. I mean, people throw, you know, the F-bomb all around, you know, they'll sit there and they'll just, you know, they'll just say, look, that's a fag or something like that. And guess what? Yeah. Times have changed. You know, there may have been a point, and, you know, I've had to learn this myself too. You know, back in the day, that could have been like a more of a slang term, but things have changed. You know, words change around. Things get a little more serious and have more darker connotations. Like, where are you at in this world? And to me, in my opinion, just going on YouTube and hitting the dislike button because it's something that you visually don't want to see, don't press fucking play. Why do you have to put out that you're a fucking, like, you know, a homophobe that has nothing, that has nothing better to do but then hate stuff?
It's the internet, man.
The anonymity of that.
And you have no repercussions or
none whatsoever. So you can be a bigot and no one will even know.
They really need to have that reality show that Saturday Night Live had and was joking about, where it's like they bring on people who left like terrible comments and been like, oh, so you're so-and-so. Yeah, so you apparently said this. guess what? We have that person here right now whose video that was. And like, oh, God. See how many of these people are like, oh, shit. But that sad part is not just the internet, though. I mean, Top Gear, that episode when they, the British one, where they had to take these, like, cars, beater cars, and drive through somewhere in the South. I can't remember where it was. It might have been Alabama or something. And they did... I can't remember whose car it was. They put it, they basically painted it pink and put like, gay pride across one side and vote Hillary Clinton or something like that on like the other or something. I don't know. And they went to a gas station and basically were threatened to like be killed. It was like pretty crazy. I'm like, this is just like a few years ago. It's like real life. I'm like, really? Just cause like, just who cares? They're not bothering you. I mean, if they were to like a bunch of like people, homosexual or not, like got on your front lawn and started throwing shit at your house, then yeah, you have a right to go out there and be like, get the fuck off my lawn, get out of here, whatever. But that has nothing to do with their sexuality. Like, they're not bothering you.
Who cares? I have something I want to read real quick. So there's this, you know, as does with many high profile games, Metacritic user reviews on Mass Effect 3 are just tearing it up.
Uh-huh.
It's like, if it's, whether it's between, you know, the fact that EA has day one DLC or the fact that you need the multiplayer or whatever, excuse me. There's also this whole situation with the homosexuality that is causing an issue, apparently. And there's one particular one that was
stood out
stood out enough to be, you know, worth mentioning. It says, as a homosexual male, it is painful watching BioWare act like they are champions of the gay community. Their insulting representations of gay individuals are merely an attempt to politicize their business so they can look progressive, while, deflecting real criticism as homophobic. Just because some homophobes exist, their behavior is a mockery of homosexuals everywhere, and I would urge any homosexuals interested in activism not to be deceived by, these insensitive people. It's like, I guess, since the only experience that I've had so far was the dude that said my husband, I don't understand why it would be portraying this person in a negative light, because
I would go as far as saying that gay scene was leaked. And I think this person may be feeling that this was put in the forefront to generate buzz. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel this person's mad. But going through the game, I wouldn't do that same thing too. And, you know, heard that comment where the guy was saying his husband and everything. And, I thought it was tastefully done.
Yeah,
it absolutely. It was talked about like it's a normal thing, that it's not a big deal.
Yeah. That being said, we're not homosexual, so we can't say how we take from it. Right?
Exactly.
So It could be legit. Like, he could be, like, I mean, I know a couple of gay people and they're almost like the exact opposite. One of them's like a total radical gay guy. Basically, like, the world's down on us, all this other crap. Like, no one, the people think they know, but they don't know. And then there's another one who just doesn't give a shit. Just like us. Just like, whatever. Just, I'm gay and, like, that's the way it is. And, people can deal with it. And it's like, this could be one of those people that are just, like, look at everything, even though that, I'm sure BioWare doesn't know, like, how to really portray it, right or wrong, but this could be one of those people who just looks at everything that's like this as being like, oh, they're just trying to get publicity, or they're just trying to, doing it in bad taste, or
That's the thing. It's like, what they don't understand is that they're just trying to give you the choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I haven't seen the scene that they're talking about, but they're just trying to give you the choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any more emails?
I do have one more. And it is, for me, same-sex relations happen in everyday life, says JGU92. So why is it such, that it's in a game? Why is it such a big deal that it's in a game? It's even in movies now. If anything, Mass Effect, could stop the use of the F word, the word I said earlier, being used as abuse from a 13-year-old teens who don't know what the fuck love or relationship is, so don't know that being gay is something to be proud of if you so happen to come out as gay. I'm writing this after coming of a really horrible multiplayer experience. In FIFA, you usually can barely hear someone talk unless you have a headset on. In this game, I could hear everything crystal clear. I think I was called gay, a homo, a fag, or anything else that could mean homosexual every time I successfully passed the ball. Every time I lost it, I'd be called it double.
So it's basically nonstop.
Yeah, pretty much. When I play FIFA, I don't like thrashing on people. I score goal, then I and then coast and just hold one up until the end of the game. This time, I was so pissed, I just went all mad on this kid. I didn't know it was possible to score from the halfway line, but I did. He soon shut up after that. Too bad it happened. Awesome. Too bad that it happened in the 87th minute. 87 minutes of abuse, 3 minutes of silence, then a rage quit. What a douche. Wow. I don't get why this is causing such a storm. I mean, I can remember back when Dragon Age came out on Sky News over here in the UK, I can remember a story about male and male relations. Granted, it was a human on an elf, but still, it was same sex and hardly anything was said there. But just because everyone sees Shepard as an alpha male and the Mass Effect girls as a hot eye candy, they think that's the right way to go. But Shepard's gay? No, that can't happen. Being around all these hotties, that would make anyone straight. Wrong. To this, I have to say, so what? A guy is gay. Holy shit, alert the media. Start a trending topic. That guy is gay in a video game.
Oh my god, it must be real and people are controlling them, so that must make them gay.
Holy shit, we've just pinpointed it.
That's, oh man.
So he finishes up saying, I have to say good on BioWare for doing this. They have balls, no pun intended. This email could go on forever, but instead I'll leave you with a question. How hard is this going to affect Mass Effect 3 sales? My answer? Not at all. People can complain all they like, but the game has the words Mass Effect 3 emblazoned on the cover. It's going to sell like crazy and be motherfucking game of the year. I guarantee it. Now, this reminds me, I should probably go finish Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, you should probably do that. Hopefully you already have.
Yeah. So he said, thanks, guys. Keep up the awesome show. Love ya. Total homo, as always.
Smooches.
Smooches.
Yeah, and that's really the gist of it. It's like, you know, these people are – the vocal people aren't the people buying the game anyway. They are just people that
– there's people that are hating on it to hate, really. Yeah. They're just insecure with their own sexuality, so they can't deal with the fact that people out there like other things. That's what it comes down to. I have no problem smacking asses. Kissing dudes on the cheek. It's not a fucking big deal.
Not a big deal.
It doesn't make you gay.
No, exactly. And
you know what it makes you? It makes you secure with your sexuality. That's what it is.
Yeah, in high school and shit, I might have been like, oh god, I'm not gonna do that because people are gonna think I'm gay. But it's like, really? Like, no. Whatever.
If you would have seen how much we were rubbing on each other 2 years ago at MGC. I'm serious. Those bartenders were like, man. They even made comments like, guys are pretty gay over there. I'm not gonna lie.
That shit, what the hell's happening?
Yeah, you got a little hot, but you know what can you do? Okay, when Rican's it's the worst when Rican's around because I don't know how many times that guy can like lick his tongue in your direction. It's like, whoa, dog. I love it.
And there's a lot of dudes there. It's like
there's
a
lot of dudes there. Yeah. It's a gaming convention, so what can you do? Yeah. So It'll be interesting toward the end of the year, you know, because every year, GLAAD, which is like the Gay and Lesbians Against Affirmation mm-hmm. or Defamation or something like that, they always, you know, have a game. It's kind of a big thing they do, or they try to make it a big deal, I guess. But you know, there's always a game that, you know, kind of like pushes the gay and lesbian, you know, movement. And they like to like pick a game out, like, you know, Fable 2 won a couple of years back. And, I wouldn't be surprised.
Like gay friendly kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Mass Effect's number one on this list because of the, of all the buzz, all the media attention that it's getting. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is it. So, you know, I mean, I would like to see that because, you know, Chris just read that, you know, one homosexual person's opinion and it was not flattering to the game whatsoever. It was
Mario Brothers 3D Land might be up there.
It might be up there. That game's, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Luigi and Mario kind of got this thing going on.
They're brothers.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Are they
too.
Actually that's, brothers though?
That's, I mean, they're really brothers.
Are they though? And that's even, okay, I'm not even gonna go there. I'm gonna be
they're
like,
Italian, not from Alabama.
I guarantee you, even if Mario and Luigi were sleeping together, the issue wouldn't be their brothers, it'd be, oh man, that's gay. Totally gay. They're brothers, yeah, but they're gay. But fuck, you don't care that they're fucking the same family? Ugh.
How and awesome would it be? True. How Parents. Awesome would it be? People didn't even freak out when people found out Dumbledore was gay. I'm sure a couple of people like Dumbledore. Got a little... Dumbledore?
Oh, he's. I know he's a Harry Potter dude. Is that like the main bad guy?
Yeah, no, he's the main good guy. He's the head of the guy. Head of Hogwarts.
Oh, the dude with the hair.
Yeah, the dude with the hair.
The dude with the hair. Yeah,
the one guy in Harry Potter.
The guy with the beard.
Oh, he's got the beard?
Yes.
I don't know, dude.
It's Dumbledore, Jeff.
I've seen like two of them and they were like 5 years ago. I don't remember.
Hey, Jeff, it's okay, man. I'm 100% with you. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't have seen any of them.
Oh, you're talking about Ian McKellen, like the actor. No, he's in Lord of the Rings.
No, Dumbledore is...
Dumbledore is the head of Hogwarts. Gay.
But he's not Ian McKellen, though.
No.
Okay, gotcha. Because he's gay, and he's in Lord of the Rings. Gandalf is gay, people. Live with it.
No.
Well, he's not actually gay, but... he might be. Why not? Frodo and Sam.
Yeah, know, there's some hints there, but...
Yeah, they don't actually go out and say it, but... Yeah. Anywho...
That's it for emails.
Yeah, I've said my piece.
Yeah, and I'm good. I was gonna make a really bad joke in bad taste, but
we are better than that.
The moment has passed. Such a shame.
I was actually sitting in silence, waiting for Jeff to say something. I can almost hear him squirming in his chair.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man. I'm sure people would understand that I wouldn't mean it, but we'll forget about it.
Coming from the guy who, and you can go back to episode zero and listen to this. It's like right in the beginning where Jeff says, "Now I don't. When I say something's gay, I'm only saying that it means bad."
No,
that's not to say that being gay is bad. It's just...
Yeah. People, and I also gave people to deal with that too. It's like, come on, like no one's actually thinking that when they're saying it's gay that it's, you know. I'm not going to. Anyway,
we're moving on.
Anyway.
We're moving on.
We're done.
This has turned into a train wreck topic. One of our many. All right, let's do new releases.
All right, are there any?
Yeah. I thought Journey came out last week.
It did. It came out on Tuesday.
Okay, because this says March 13th.
Well, then don't bother reading it.
Okay, I won't. for PS3, we got Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Generations, Tales of Graces F, Silent Hill Downpour. Yeah. FIFA Street, Yakuza Dead Souls, Warp, and Shoot Many Robots.
Wow.
Warp and Shoot Many Robots are PSN titles, I believe.
Yes. Warp came in on Xbox like 3 weeks ago.
Probably. That would make sense.
It was one of those arcade games.
Supposed to be good. Xbox is also getting Naruto, Silent Hill, FIFA Street, Shoot Many Robots, and Defenders of Ardania. It's a tower defense game, apparently.
Oh, now a tower defense game.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of those lately. Wii is getting Mario Party 9.
3DS, I can't believe they're only at 9.
Only at 9, yeah. 3DS is getting Planet Crashers 3D. Vita is getting Ridge Racer and Reality Fighters. And that is your new release list. I will say this. I heard that Ridge Racer has... The American version has much more content than the Japanese one did. And there's a day one patch... that fixes the frame rate issues.
I was looking at some videos. That game actually looks really good. Like really, really good.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to see what happens. But I also, I think I heard they dropped the price to $25 too.
If that's the case.
If it runs well.
That might be a thinker. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I heard that I'm waiting for, I have a friend of mine that got it and I'm waiting for him to get back to me. Cause apparently it's out already. I don't know why it's on the list, but I think that the release date was in flux because it was supposed to be a launch date release and they delayed it to, I guess, fix it. I'm not 100% sure, but, so let me see what the price on it is real quick. It says 29.
Ooh,
so.
Oh, 29. That's yep. Not
cool. So pick of the week?
FIFA Street.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It does look really cool. It's got a lot of people are saying it's pretty awesome.
I'll go Ridge Racer.
And I don't have a Vita, so. Actually, shoot more robots or many robots. Looks interesting, but.
I'm going to play Tales of Graces, because I like the Tales games.
Oh, yeah, the Tales game. That's right.
There you go.
All right.
Cool. All right. Moving on. Do we have any regular emails?
No.
Indus questions.
Let's save them. We have actually a lot of good ones, but I'm not sure.
Let's go play some Mass Effect or Street Fighter, guys.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Let's do questions of the week.
And we will get them, guys. Just said like, we like to have a good buildup of Indus questions so we can like kind of shoot through them. But the ones we did get though are actually really good. I remember seeing them when they came in. I was like, huh. Yeah, that's good. Good question.
I'm still disappointed we don't have any regular emails and that we have not gotten a voicemail in like two or three weeks.
Well, voicemails take a lot of, they take effort, man. People gotta record shit.
Or they could just call the number.
Yeah, just call a phone. Like it's.
Actually, I will read one in this question. This is one of the ones that I thought was pretty interesting. Actually, fuck it. There's only a few. Let's just do them all. All right. This one's JG92. He says, guys, Chris mainly, in about 10 years, would you watch the movie 2012 with your kids and after say, yeah, I survived that?
Yes.
Good answer. I was worried you were going to say no for a second.
I think that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that totally happened.
Yeah, I used to live in LA. It's gone now. Yep. We should be so lucky.
He has another one to do with glitches, but I think we should save that one because I'm going to ask this one actually and you guys an email thread because it's actually going to take some thinking because I don't think any of us can think of something on the spot. All right, Jake says, can we start another Travis missing an episode pool? The last one happened so quick I didn't get a chance to enter.
We could do that.
He's been on a good streak lately. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But that's it. The rest of them we will save till for another date.
All right, cool. Let's do question of the week then.
All right.
So this is kind of something that Travis brought up, and he said that there's a lot of situations where like, and I have to imagine it's moms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
it's more moms. Yeah.
So that where they come in and just, God, I don't understand this crap.
We're totally down with people and their sexuality, but fuck women in gaming. They just don't get it. Anyway.
Travis feels the need to, you know, defend the media, the video game media. So the question of the week is, as a gamer, do you ever feel the need to defend your hobby?
Yes. So, tell us stories. Give us examples.
Yeah, give us examples of situations where someone said something completely ignorant and you jumped, you basically, you know, told them what was up.
Yeah.
So.
Or didn't. Or, you know, kept your mouth shut. It was like, they'll learn someday or just who gives a fuck.
Who gives a shit? So send your emails to email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. Voicemail. 706-760-4337.
It's not lead, it's feet.
You can get us on Twitter as well. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is Geoff.
Check us out on Google+, Facebook, and Steam. We are Interactive Distractions. And come over to Retroids and join up and come into the forums and say hi. We'd appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Yelp. So that is all I've got. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Don't think so.
Travis?
What? I was checking my tweets. Sorry. No, I got nothing.
God. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. If you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that as well. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And like Travis has tweets.
I do. I tweeted my cereal flavored milk today, and they got hits. Nice.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy, guys.